Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's January 13th, 2016. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States, and I'm coming to you from a very chilly North Central West Virginia. I want to go today into a new topic. We've been talking in the days past out of Hebrews 11, the Great Faith Hall of Fame. Today we're going to start in Romans chapter 6, the Roman Road to the Cross. The Roman Road to the Cross. Our dealing with sin. Sin. That little three-letter word that is a killer. The Word of God says that the wages of sin is death, and every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know today that God dealt with sin. That God, in His holiness, in His holiness, cannot abide in sin. The Word of God declares that God is holy. And the Word of God declares also that without holiness, no man shall see God. So we are not holy, the Bible says. There's not one righteous, no, not one. And our righteousness is but filthy rags before the throne of God. So God's plan to save mankind is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The only sane voice that's in the world today is the voice of an Almighty God who speaks to us by His Spirit through His Word, through the fivefold ministry set in the church, and through the gifts of the Spirit. God speaks to His people, but are His people listening? So Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul was faced with controversy. He had stated in Romans 5:20 that the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And there was so many who thought that Paul was giving a license to sin, or there were those that were so attached to the law that they wanted to combine Christ and the law. And Paul teaches throughout the New Testament, and in the book of Romans, book of Galatians, that we cannot combine the law with grace. They will not mix. Law is fleshly. It's man's way, so to speak. It's man attempting to do within himself what he cannot do, and that is redeem himself. We cannot be redeemed by religion, or laws, or written legalistic writings, so to speak, that which men demand. There was there was the written law that was given at Sinai, and then there's also a spoken law which adds on, men trying to add on. But salvation will never be found in flesh and blood. And Romans 5:20 teaches that man is ruined by sin, completely ruined. Many people use the term shipwrecked. In other words, upon the rocks of destruction, depraved, without God, lost. Sin separates from God. So there was a need, and there still is a need to those that receive, that we receive reconciliation to God, because we cannot come before him in ourselves. The Bible says he looked beyond our faults and he saw our need, and our need was a Savior, and that Savior was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago, thus reconciling us back to God. The Bible declares that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. God condescending, God walking in flesh, God dying for the sins of the world. He was all man, and he was all God. The Bible says he went before us. The Bible declares he is touched with our infirmities. So Romans 5:20 teaches that man is ruined by sin or shipwrecked. The wages of sin is death, and we are unable to keep ourselves reconciled or in fellowship with God. Fellowship with God, we are lost. So the critics, they attacked Paul. You know that Paul was giving a license to sin. The message of grace was not well received because men do not want to relinquish their quote-unquote power that they seemingly think that they have. Paul declared this, that when I am weak, then he is strong. So, in order to come to this cross, we must come to the end of ourselves. We must recognize that we are lost and we are undone in this world without the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law," Jesus said, "or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but I have come to fulfill the law." So, what we mean by fulfilling the law is that Jesus kept the law. He was the only perfect man to ever walk on the face of the earth. He was the only one that could satisfy the demands of a thrice holy God that reconciled us back to him. And you know, this might seem boring to a degree, but the fact remains is that if we are lost, then we've got a problem. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And as the day draws closer, as we come to the end of the age, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the Word of God declares there is a judgment that we all will face, Christian and sinner alike. The Christian will be at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and the sinner will be at the great white throne judgment. I heard preachers say, everybody's going to heaven, but not everybody's going to stay. There's a judgment coming. And you can come to God with your portfolio, so to speak, with the everything that you've done, point A to point B, everything that you've done good or well, whatever, I mean, all your righteousness. But the Bible declares that our righteousness is but filthy rags. And the only thing that God will recognize is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. He won't recognize repentance. He won't recognize good deeds. Although James said, without works, faith is dead, and I agree with that, but the works do not save us. It's our complete acceptance of God's love gift. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We need him. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How many? All. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul is dealing here in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, verse 1, that we all have a sin nature. Maybe it's not one particular sin, but it's our capacity to sin. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is born in us. And we are not trying to gain a victory, but we are trying to walk in one that has already been won 2,000 years ago at a place called Golgotha, when Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sins of the world. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ is the only answer for sin and the only sacrifice that God will accept. The Lamb of God. The Lamb points to sacrifice. In the day when God told Moses in Egypt, "Kill ye a lamb for every house and put the blood above the doorstop. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was Passover. It took the shedding of an innocent victim. Bible declares that Jesus Christ had no guile found in him. In other words, he had not a deceitful bone in his body. He had no guile. He didn't come in any other motive except the motive to save mankind and obey the Father. And the Word of God declares, Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father." He even said that, "I come not even to bring unity, but I come to bring a sword," where people, there will be a dividing line. There must be a dividing line. The dividing line today is how the world perceives and how we perceive Jesus Christ. Just not a good man, and he was the best. Just not a prophet, he was a prophet. Not just another teacher or a rabbi, he was a teacher, he was a rabbi. But he was the Son of the living God, the only way to God. Jesus said, "I am the way and I am the truth, and no man comes unto the Father except it be through me." So we must preach Jesus, and we must preach him crucified to the best of our ability. The man that preaches the cross of Jesus Christ, or the woman that preaches the cross of Jesus Christ and points towards the Roman road to the cross, the plan of salvation that God, the Word of God declared, he laid out before the foundations of the world, that Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. This is our way today. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man comes to the Father except it be through him. And I know I repeat myself sometimes, but sometimes we need to get this, that he is the only way. And all of our other activities that we try to do, maybe to gain favor with God, to get here or get there, is fruitless. It doesn't work. But our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his finished work is our salvation. And the Holy Spirit can give us revelation on this. If we ask him, if any man lack wisdom, the book of James says, let him ask of God and God will give it. If you are desperate enough, the psalmist David said that like a deer that pants after the water, so does my soul pant after you. If you are concerned about your salvation, if you're concerned about the afterlife, beyond this life, and there is an afterlife, the Word of God declares that there is. The Word of God declares that man's days are short and full of trouble. He compares mankind to a fading leaf, as a tossed wave in an ocean, as the sands of the sea. So insignificant, so to speak, but yet we are just a speck, but yet God is mindful of us. He knows our name, every step that we take, every place that we go, every situation that we go through. The Word of God declares that he is touched with our infirmity. So he sent his only begotten Son, that me and you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our source of power our source of power today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever is Jesus Christ and his finished work. We must yield ourselves unto the Spirit of God. There comes a point of yielding. And through faith, we've just been talking the past couple of weeks about faith, how important faith is, and without it, it's impossible to complete to please God without it. And he is a rewarder of them that seek him with diligence. He knows us. He knows our motives. Shall we continue in sin, or shall we continue in that which was passed down to us from our forefathers in the form of Adam and of Eve, who fell in the garden? We are products of the fall. This world is a product of the fall. This world is full of sin, sorrow, heartache, pain, all coming from man failing God in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, products of the fall. We all have a capacity to sin. And this sin nature. For many say, and I believe that, you know, you don't have to teach a child to lie, to be deceptive, to throw tantrums, because it's in us. It's in us. We were, the Word of God declares, once alienated from the cross of Jesus Christ, but now through his blood and through his finished work, we are reconciled unto God again. So the sin nature, or our capacity to sin, is that which we inherited at the fall. The nature that automatically pushes us to sin. And that nature which without the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no power over it. Not in ourselves. We don't have enough willpower. We need willpower. We need determination. Yes, these are all good. But the bottom line is that in ourselves, we cannot overcome the sin nature, because we are men and we are women. We are made a little lower than the angels. We are subject to that which goes on in another world, in a supernatural realm. There is a supernatural, the world that we do not see, which controls so much of what goes in the world that we do see. I personally believe that nothing happens in this world unless it happens in the other world first, the supernatural, the unseen world. Paul said it this way, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. He's pointing to a very structured kingdom with levels of authority. This is what we fight against and wrestle against, and we cannot do it in ourselves. This horrible blight of sin was addressed at the cross. For some reason, the Lord has let the sin nature hang around, and I believe, as so many preach and teach, that it's for discipline to let us know that without him, we are nothing. We cannot do anything. So when we try to overcome in the flesh and do works, which, listen, Christian disciplines are necessary, but Bible reading doesn't save us. Fasting does not save us. Going to church does not save us. Serving on the board of the church, being a Sunday school teacher, being a deacon, being a trustee, or whatever you might be, by no means do these things save us. They are Christian disciplines. We need to do them. But they have no power to save us. The work that Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood on a cross defeated the powers of darkness. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We all have evil tendencies. Well, not me, okay. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, and self-deception is the worst deception. We all have our weaknesses, but Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. Paul was a very proud man when he was Saul. He went about killing Christians. That's what he did. And he thought he was right until he come face to face with Jesus Christ and realized what he was doing in himself was wrong, and God turned him. He repented, the Word of God says, and all of a sudden Saul became Paul. Well, it seems to be always a name change when people are touched in the Bible. And he relinquished all of what he had. And the Bible says he put his full trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said it this way, for it's not me that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. We need to get there. We need to ask God to give us power to relinquish our own efforts and completely be conformed. Be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to this world or its ways or even its religions, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this renewing takes place when we know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and when we let him have full control. He's Lord. And it's easily said, but sometimes, man, it's a process to die out. Paul said, I die daily, because he knew that when his feet hit the floor in the morning, or maybe sometimes he didn't even sleep probably, that he was going to fight the sin nature that day, that something on the inside of him would want to rise up and take control. And he knew, I hate to use the word secret, but sometimes a lot of people don't know it, and sometimes it's not so easy to get. That was the blood of Jesus. It's not me that lives, he said, but it's Christ who lives through me. When I am weak, he is strong. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And the God of peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. This is the word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So, tomorrow we want to talk about some of the ways that God attacks sin. Of course, the main way is through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. The only way to salvation, the only way. So we are in a wrestling match. And sometimes the old saying is we are our worst enemy. It's the battle that we fight with that man that we don't want to live in our lives. Because if you're born again, then sin bothers you. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have failed him. All have sinned. Just because we're born again doesn't mean, I don't think there's anybody out there today that since you've been born again, you haven't sinned. But see, there's a difference between premeditated sin, thinking to do it, doing it, and then thinking there's no consequences for it, or not even worrying about the consequences. And then there's the Christian that loves the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and has accepted him, and sin should bother us. Not to the point of pushing us into a place of oppression or depression, because he made a way out. The Bible says if a man sins, to confess that sin. Confess it. And God is just and true to forgive us our sins. So the world today, everybody says we've got a political problem, and we do. Financial problem, we certainly do. Environmental problem, yes. Yes, we do. But our answer today is in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the world's problem is a three-letter word, sin. So we need to address the sin within our own lives, our own weaknesses. We need to, the Word of God declares that we need to get the mote out of our eye before we look at our brother's eye. In other words, sweep off our own front porch before we go sweeping off somebody else's. So Jesus Christ is the way today to eradicate sin within our lives, to give us, I believe that there's victory in Jesus. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. We sing the old song, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me with his own redeeming blood. And he is our power source today. He is the way. Amen. The way to victory. And we need for God to lead us and guide us into this truth. Let us see this. The finished work of Jesus Christ is the only way for mankind. Amen. Listen to the preachers and teachers today who preach the cross of Jesus Christ, because this is the only way. And they say it so much better than I do, I'm sure. But it's still the fact that the cross is the way and the truth and the life, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice he made thereon, the victory that he gave his people who will call upon his name. The Word of God declares shall be saved. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're struggling today, and we all struggle at times, get in the Word of God. Pray and seek God. Put your faith today in Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you need healing in your body, know today that he's able to heal you. By his stripes, ye are healed. So tomorrow we're going to talk about God's plan and weapons against sin. And, of course, the one weapon is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what the Lord will do for us if we trust him and put our faith completely in him. May God bless each and every one of you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.